Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
A Malala man is in custody after reportedly shooting at police officers who were responding to a medical call Monday, striking several vehicles. Police say the man, later identified as 48-year-old Brian Scott Mills, fired a rifle and sidearm from a house in the 700 block of West Main Street, near the grocery outlet and newly opened Dollar Tree, forcing local schools to shut down. The incident started at approximately 10:21 a.m. when officers responded to a medical call at Mills' residence, which is also the registered address of a security services firm he owns and operates. According to police, Mills donned body armor and began arming himself shortly after officers arrived on scene. The officers' attempts to negotiate and de-escalate the situation were unsuccessful, and Mills allegedly opened fire on civilians and police. Police convinced Mills to surrender peacefully after an approximately 40-minute standoff, and he was arrested without further incident. He faces numerous charges related to the incident, including attempted aggravated murder, attempted first-degree assault, second-degree assault, and multiple counts of unlawful use of a weapon and recklessly endangering. His bail is set at $1 million. New details emerged later in the week as court documents filed in the case shared terrifying new details beyond what was known in the immediate wake of the chaos Monday morning. According to police accounts and the assistant district attorney prosecuting this case, Mills allegedly began the assault using a 50 caliber rifle, a military-grade weapon preferred by snipers and known for its ability to penetrate heavily armored targets, even at a long range. Mills allegedly fired that weapon at the vehicles of a construction worker that the family had allowed to park in their drive, but that police had asked to move earlier that morning, resulting in shrapnel hitting the driver's back and neck. The driver, the only injury reported in the shooting, was treated at Providence Willamette Falls Hospital in Oregon City and released later that day. Mills also allegedly fired rounds towards the crowded parking lot of the newly opened grocery outlet in Dollar Tree and at a nearby house, where a bullet penetrated the bedroom of a 15-year-old girl while she was still inside. Fortunately, she was unharmed. Another bullet reportedly went through the window of a Malala patrol car that was unoccupied at the time. No officers were injured in the shooting. One officer returned fire Monday and has been placed on administrative leave, according to department policy. Mills is the registered owner of two businesses listed at his home. One, a security services firm, and the other, a gunsmith and firearm and ammunition retail company, and has had previous dealings with local police. In January of this year, the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office denied Mills' application for a change of address on his concealed handgun license, citing a prior incident with the Malala Police Department. The letter from Sheriff Angela Brandenburg also revoked Mills' existing CCHL permit, requiring him to turn it in to Sheriff's Office, though he later attempted to appeal the decision in circuit court. Officers reportedly uncovered a massive amount of guns and weapons at Mills' residence following his arrest. The cat is back on the prowl. Canby Area Transit's popular city circulator route, a local circulator bus that runs on a continuous cycle around Canby throughout the work week, returned Monday as the Canby Loop. CAT formerly ran two lines of the city circulator, a green line that served North Canby and a blue line for the south. The new Canby Loop will follow a similar route that encompasses both areas. CAT staff hosted a circulator information booth at the Canby Transit Center near Cutsforth's Market Monday to promote the new addition to the city's transportation offerings. The Canby Loop is free for riders and will run 12 hours between 5:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, starting at the Transit Center and making 14 stops around town. Canby Transit officials say the route and schedule may change based on demand. The Canby Loop does not operate on weekends or major holidays. The City Transit Service currently provides commuter bus service to Oregon City and Woodburn via the Route 99X. Dial a ride service and complimentary paratransit service to eligible individuals who are unable to access the fixed route bus. For maps and current schedules, find the story on our website, canbyfirst.com. For current other information, call 503-266-4022 or visit canbyareatransit.org. Love what you do, the old adage goes, and you'll never work a day in your life. By that standard, Tracy Berg, Social Services Director at Marquee Hope Village in Canby, hasn't worked in a very long time. I love it, she says of her job. I absolutely love it. Even on really hard days, I can see the difference I make in people's lives in a tangible way. Not everybody gets to see exactly what their work is doing in someone's life on a daily basis the way that I get to see it. Of course, working with vulnerable people can be emotionally trying, something Berg learned very early on. When I first started working with seniors, I had a hard time not taking stuff home with me because this is a 24/7 job, she recalls. Once I learned how to deal with that and it just became who I am, it's really gone well. It can be really hard, but it just brings me so much joy too. I work a lot with end-of-life care, stepping in during those last couple months, weeks, days, hours. The first time I held someone's hand while they passed away, I realized I have the capacity to do this. I should probably do this. That capacity was tested like never before last June when Marquee Hope Village experienced a devastating and deadly outbreak of COVID-19, a period Berg calls the worst month of my entire life. She still remembers exactly where she was when she learned the virus had infiltrated the facility, infecting some people Berg viewed not as residents, but as her own friends and loved ones. Someone had barely spiked a temperature, and we immediately tested everybody, and by then, it had already spread, she said. That's when I realized that even with all of our planning, all of our training, everything that we had done in advance, all of our precautions, despite all of that, it had still gotten into the facility. And before it was even detectable, it spread. That hit me like a gut punch. Marquee made it through the difficult period, and in December, its residents and staff, including Berg, became among the first in the state of Oregon to have access to COVID vaccine. There were many more emotional moments, in her words, tears of joy, when she was able to share the news with residents and loved ones that the vaccine would be available to them and that some semblance of normalcy would soon be returning. She almost chokes up herself, recalling the moment when a married couple, one of whom lives in the facility, were able to hug one another for the first time in months after being fully vaccinated. Marquee has since made its supply of vaccines available to residents, family members, friends, and the greater community at weekly vaccination clinics. Though there are still numerous safeguards and precautions in place, group dining and other activities have resumed, and morale has greatly improved as a result. They have things they're looking forward to again, Berg says of the residents at Marquee Hope Village. You know, there's not a set date to the end of the pandemic, but They know we're headed in the right direction, and they're able to see more and more of what they love to do able to happen again. Cougar Country, hometown sports coverage, is brought to you by Rife and Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at CanbyCountryOR. After a solid two-week stretch where Cougar Volleyball won three games and hung close with one of the best teams in the state, the girls ran into a brick wall in the form of Lake Oswego Schools this past week. Canby was blitzed by the Lake Ridge Pacers in a game that the Cougs struggled with from the very onset. The Pacers took advantage of Canby miscues and raced to a 25-13 first win set before sweeping the next two sets, 25-19, 25-12. It was the first time that Canby had failed to score 20 points or more on any set over the last 3 weeks. Thursday saw the Lake Oswego Lakers sweep the Cougars for the second time this season. After losing in convincing fashion in their previous meeting, Canby was able to marginally improve, nearly winning the second set. After the Lakers took the first set 25-16, the Cougars fought hard to a 24-24 tie in the second. The Lakers managed to put away the Cougars with two swift points to win 26-24 before taking the final set 25-13. After two matches that were not quite as close as expected, the girls hope to continue their trend of improvement in games against Tigard and Tualatin on Tuesday and Thursday this week. The Cougars beat the Tigers 3-1 in their last meeting and were swept by the Timberwolves. Attention hunters! The Canby Rod and Gun Club will be opening their 100-yard rifle range to the general public and club members later this month to give hunters and sportsmen the opportunity to ensure their firearms are properly sighted in before the hunting season kicks off. This year's sight-in days will be from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. the last two weekends in September, the 18th, 19th, 25th, and 26th. The cost is $5 per gun and $1 per chamber flag, which is refundable upon return. The Canby Rod and Gun Club provides the range officers, targets, experienced spotters, and coaches at each firing point to help with the sighting in process. The Canby Rod and Gun Club is located about a mile southeast of Canby on the Malala Forest Road. Maps and more information are available at canbyrodandgun.org. No reservation necessary. Happy hunting. Over 70 years ago, a seed was planted in the rich, fertile soil of North Canby. The seed was Swan Island dahlias, and today it has blossomed and grown into the largest leading dahlia grower on planet Earth. Family-owned and operated, Swan Island is one of Oregon's premier agrotourism destinations, boasting 375 varieties and 40 acres of gorgeous blooms. A sea of color that is among the most jaw-dropping and unforgettable sights in the entire Pacific Northwest. While their fields and annual Dahlia Festival justifiably get a lot of attention, Swan Island has a lot of amenities you may not know about. Their selection of gifts, gardening supplies, and other unique finds is among the most expansive in Canby area, and their fresh-cut flower shop, it's always worth stopping for. This summer, Swan Island is featuring a rotating menu of delicious food trucks Thursday through Sunday and a wide variety of fun classes for all interests and ability levels. The Dahlia Farm will also be hosting a local farmers market every Friday and live music shows through September. Swan Island and their amazing dahlia fields are open 6 days a week, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., closed Wednesdays. For class registration, concert schedule, or more information, visit dahlias.com or follow Swan Island Dahlias on Facebook and Instagram.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee companies at Hope Village in Canby, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course. From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Canby. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's C-U-R-R-E-N-T, to 888-906-3432. All right, well, joining us on the Canby Conversation today, two of our favorite people in Canby, we have Matt Morrissey and Justin Rouse of Wayward Sandwiches and the newly opened Siren Song. Hey, guys.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're a little tired.
A little tired. Just a tiny bit. I think on the first interview you guys did with us, back when we were the Canby Now podcast, I called you guys just the bravest people I know. You were the first ones to go into the Dahlia building. And that was just a few months before the pandemic and everything hit. And after 18 months of that, you said, I know what I want to do. Open another hospitality location in Canby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you put it like that, it makes it sound like we're crazy people.
Brave or crazy, the line is kind of blurry sometimes.
You walk around these streets and we're like, you know what? There's no classic cocktail bar.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how it happened.
I am so impressed and amazed at how distinct the two locations are. Like, you would think you'd see some, and there's some similarities in terms of the quality and some of that, but in terms of like the atmosphere and the actual things that are offered, they're totally different. They're totally distinct. Yeah. How did you guys do that?
I think that Justin and myself have a background in food that is, varied. It's across the board. We've done, you name it, at one point or another, and so the sandwich shop was very,
you get that,
and the sandwich shop was very much and is very much intended to be an all ages community based sort of center of,
you got the pinball and the family just nights and
but just all the all of the touches there are meant to encourage people to meet and use the space, and with a cocktail bar that's 21 plus, obviously we're not encouraging the community to meet, but we're encouraging people of a certain age to meet and in a different way, right? And so the food is more meant to be shared amongst people here. And the drinks are obviously, it's a full liquor license, so we're doing something totally different there. And we thought that making a nicer space, sort of a classier space, would work.
Yeah. When it comes down to it, we wanted to have a place where we could make drinks that we want to drink.
Yeah.
Without having to go to Portland or somewhere else, right?
And yeah.
That's what the community wanted, especially after COVID. Like, really happy to go to Wayward.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we can get this kind of service. Yeah. Obviously Matt and I are very service oriented. We want to have good service to everybody.
Yeah.
But the drinks are drinks that we want, and the food is the food that I want. We need to cater to ourselves and the community. And if we have we just saw this as a really good option to be able to do both.
Yeah.
And it's been received. We've only been open for 6 days.
Right.
So it's been received really
so far.
Right. I've had nothing but people just say, I'm so happy that you're here. And there's nothing like
that
this
around. That you're still here, that you're here again. And as you said a couple times, just offering something that wasn't here to the community.
That's an important piece to it, is that we're, just like Wayward, we're not trying to steal business away from anybody else. We're not trying to, we're doing something, we're trying to fill a hole, a niche in the community that isn't here.
Yeah.
And really, we're just trying to keep people from going out of town.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I mean, obviously, and we're trying to, hopefully this downtown area, you know, as some of the other concepts come online here in the next year, 2 years, whatever it's going to be,
yeah.
We start getting people coming here for these hospitality places, and we build a reputation for the downtown area that, you know, much like people go to Oregon City as a destination area or wherever,
right.
You know, we want this little downtown area to be like, hey, let's go, and, you know, if the place we go to for some reason is full or we don't want to wait,
yeah,
we'll just go down the street to the next place, and that'll be great too.
Yeah, we want them saying Oregon who.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. It's already what we say. Oregon who.
It's kind of funny, you know, because it's like as the downtown grows,
yeah.
And we've been really grateful to have a business community that has supported us the whole time.
Yeah.
From before we were open at Wayward, and then before we opened here, everybody's like helped us out. We have questions about stuff, they help us out.
Yeah.
And it's been really great. But like looking forward, you know, this is definitely going to be a place that's going to be where, like, you know, people are going to get an Airbnb.
Yeah.
They're going to rent a place out here because they're like 30 minutes from Portland.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be able to come to a really cool place.
Right.
Like, it's going to foster, a really good capital down there.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely. Lots really, of interplay between
them. Yeah.
When I said at the beginning of the interview, is that true that you guys did try to create kind of distinctive between the two properties? Or was it originally, you know, going to be a little more complementary than maybe it ended up being?
No, this all was in our heads.
Standalone.
And came up, and the whole idea was that you can order food from Wayward if you don't want something that's on the menu here.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they're intended to be different spaces. So, I mean, even if they were in the same building or they were right next to each other, we would have created very different vibes for the different spaces. But you can, you know, that's an important distinction, honestly, is that we have a standalone menu here. It's not going to be nearly as big as Wayward, but you can get food from Wayward Sandwiches here at Siren Song, is provided Wayward is open.
Right.
So until 9 o'clock, you can come in. It would just be like you're ordering takeout from, except instead of having to go get it, it just magically appears at where you're seated.
That's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about the food here. The food that's made here. How did you come up with that?
To go back to what I talked about, like, we wanted drinks that Matt and I wanted to drink that we couldn't get in town.
Yeah.
We wanted food that we wanted, like that I wanted. And it's all about slow cooking and oysters on the half shell, right? Like, that's like
a lot of
right
it really
there.
Complements whiskey and, you know, those flavors, though. Like, it's
no,
really
absolutely. The pork shank is my favorite thing on the menu.
Yeah.
You have that crispy skin.
Yeah.
The fat, it's because it's been braised. The fat is just like candy on your lips.
Yeah.
And then all the meat falls from the bone, and I give you a straw.
Me hungry. I hate this. I shouldn't have asked
about this. I give you a straw so you can suck up whatever bone marrow is left in there.
Uh-huh.
And that's just like old home cooking food.
Yeah.
Nice. It's served on a bed of our house-made kraut with apples and some of the braising liquid.
Yeah.
Like, that's where that is. We wanted to do kind of bar food, but since we don't have fryers, but we still did wings and poppers.
Yeah.
And the
they're
poppers.
Like, they're like wings and jalapeno poppers that went to Harvard. They're like the, like,
the Ivy League.
And, like, they are so good and so just high quality.
That's what we want.
Out of a freezer, out of a fryer, yeah.
No, yeah, it's not out of a freezer, directly into a fryer, and that's what we want. I think Matt's such a visionary to be able to, like, come out here and see where Canby is and see where it can be, and to, can be,
right.
But see where, like, and also, like, to be able to communicate with everybody out here and to have such a vibrant community that wants everyone to succeed.
Yeah.
So, like, to, like, that falls back on me being a chef is like, well, I want to cook food I want to eat.
Yeah.
This is what I want to eat.
Yeah.
Know? I don't, anything that's going to be on the menu is stuff that I want. Like, I'm cooking for me.
Right.
And I want you guys to like it.
Yeah.
You're coming here and eating, and they do, but like, I'm not cooking for a public. I'm cooking for me because this is what I like.
Yeah.
And so that's where the menu came from.
Yeah.
And also to be like approachable too, because, you know, maybe not everybody's going to want to get the shank the first time they're here,
right.
But once they're sitting there eating the wings and know how good those taste, and then they see the shank go out to another table and they're like, oh, I need to get that. you know, and we have such a big community of people that process like these animals and stuff too. And so like I had somebody that was like, oh, this reminds me of my grandma.
Yeah.
And that's like, that like resonates with my heart, because that's what I love grandma cooking. Like, exactly.
His spirit animal is a grandma.
Yes. Love that. Very cool. A grandma, but like wielding a huge knife.
Yeah.
With tattoos. And Matt, you are, I just echo, like, so visionary as well in crafting this concept. And you can just see that from the moment it was announced and came together. Like, people have just been instantly on board. Like, you really had your finger on the pulse with this. And I love that.
Yeah, I'm happy because it was a lot of money to spend if people didn't like it.
You have this gorgeous, incredible, unique mural. Wayward Sandwiches, of course, has the big mural that's an iconic painting.
Right? Yeah, Great Wave off Kanagawa.
Yeah, recreation. This is original. This is
original art. Yeah, woman named Janessa.
VV Design.
Yeah, VV Design, VIVI Design Company. So they're out of Bend, but they do a lot of work in and around the Portland area, as well as the Bend area and Salem. And she's just great. She we had a conversation. I mean, it's about a 37-foot long wall. It's about 7 feet or so tall. And we had a conversation about it, and you know, like we had at that point determined the name of the place was going to be Siren Song, and we had sort of an idea of what we wanted, but I pretty much was like, you know, beyond us wanting to take this long wall and sort of tell a story, you know, we want to include siren, you know, the sort of mythological story of the sirens to a certain degree. And then we all, you know, I was like, and I just really want, you know, the waves and the boat to be part of it.
Yeah.
The rest of it, she just went nuts on, and it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very like, and I believe when we first did the interview, Matt, and this was just a twinkle in your eye, but you had the concept, I believe a mural was part of the plan.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was envisioning something much more, you know, like you think of when you think of the myths and whatnot. It's like very traditional and sort of more Hellenistic.
Laying about with grapes and...
Well, yeah, this is just very modern looking, very...
Yeah, oh, old, right.
You know, it's not that...
Well, and that's why we chose...
Realism style.
That's why we chose Janessa, the graphic quality of what she does is very modern, but it also... isn't so sometimes modern isn't very playful and it's just sort of sterile and you know, it's crisp and it's sleek but it just doesn't have a lot of like substance to it but she's very, very much incorporates both modern sort of graphic quality, and her color palettes are always great. Like, that was one of the things we were definitely
she came to me through my friend Neen, who races motorcycles, and like she was having lunch over at Wayward, and I was like, oh, do you know anybody that does like murals? And they're like, yes, you need to talk to this person. And once we did, it was like a match made in heaven. Like, absolutely work with her again, and encourage anybody
Hope
else
to
work with her
again.
And like it's very the graphic design, but it's also it just tells a story, you know?
Super thoughtful.
It's just amazing. Like, it just tells a story. Each panel you look at, it just goes through, you know.
So I recognize the sirens, that mermaids. What's going on over there? What's this?
So the beginning of the story is sort of the manifestation. That's the siren, right?
Okay.
And that's so the cloud is the song.
Okay.
So that's the song, and so basically this ship is being beckoned to by the sirens. So that all three of the characters there are sirens. You have in the old mythology, the sirens were winged creatures.
Right.
And then as time has gone on, the sirens have become, in modern parlance, these sort of scantily clad mermaids.
Yeah.
So we had the conversation. It came up, you know, well, how do you want the sirens to be? And I was like, do whatever you want. You know, like I'm not requiring some sort of, you know, like tropical, big-breasted, you know, like mermaid siren. So she ended up all. Justin, on the other hand.
So
she incorporated kind of both. So the idea is that they're calling to this ship that's in rough seas, and then the final panel is the ship is sunk on the rocky shore, and the mermaid is going back out, presumably to find another ship to call to and sink.
Another victim.
Another victim.
Gotcha.
Depressing. Well, you know.
Well, that's why you should order a drink.
Which is a great segue to talk about your guys' drink menu.
Yeah.
So how'd you come up with that? I know you said several times, just like what we want to drink.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
tell me more. These are sort of classical. Yeah.
We're trying to. So a lot of times you go to a restaurant, nice restaurant, and you know, they have sort of their spin on classic drinks that are, you know, tend to have incorporate sort of new flavors or, you know, their twist and these different ideas and things. And I find that, you know, a lot of places don't really focus on just fundamentally sound cocktails as their original, you know, sort of the vision of the cocktail is.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a reason that that drink became popular and stood the test of time, was because obviously in its sort of natural form, it's a good drink. And so, you know, out here, the idea of, you know, doing a cocktail bar would seemed like it would resonate with people if we just sort of focused on those classic cocktails and making really good versions of those classic cocktails without, you know, adding blueberry this or maple that or bacon this or, you know what I mean? Like these extra additional flavors. And we're not opposed to, as life goes on, sort of branching out and doing some new things. I think that that's part of the natural evolution of any place. But to start, we really wanted to focus on those drinks and make them well, make a sour with egg whites, you know?
In our first interview, didn't I ask you if you were going to do like a pastrami martini?
Yeah, well, at some point we may. We're doing an oyster martini.
Okay.
That's going to be one of our own making.
That's our signature cocktail.
It's called the Siren Song, and it's about to make its unveiling on the menu here. It'll make it this week.
Okay.
Really don't know when you're going to post this, hopefully.
Yeah.
But we're just getting the final. We're finishing up the versions of our menus that we'll have nicely printed on paper and. So on and so forth, but there'll be we're incorporating a oyster on the half shell into one of the, so not quite pastrami,
on the
but
side or like
it's gonna be in the drink.
It's
gonna be a garnish.
Yeah, love that.
No, it's amazing. Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
So obviously you look at the menus, the specialty cocktail menu, and you know, there are names that anyone recognizes, old fashioned and things like that. Things I hadn't heard of as well. Are they all classic cocktails?
Yeah,
I just
a lot of them. I would say most of them that you may not have heard of are probably prohibition cocktails.
Oh, gotcha.
That in speakeasies were, you know, like Corpse Reviver and Boulevardier, things like that.
Yeah.
No, depending on the area, some of them, you know, that involve things like absinthe were big in New Orleans. Some of them are, you know, they're some of them are from, you know, New York.
Regional flavors,
and they're
like the Sazerac's all like
it's a New Orleans
drink. Yeah. And then some of the cocktails are from, you know, they have recipes that date back to the 1800s, and some of them have like they date back to the 1900s. So, you know, we're just trying to represent them as well as we can.
Yeah.
Here.
Very cool.
Yeah, and then the drink menu is gonna kind of, we're sort of building the recipe lists going through, and so, you know, we'll end up constantly just sort of churning through different drinks and cocktails and building the list, and you know, and I think that the fun of it'll be that as we cycle through some things that maybe come off the menu for a time, people will still, that really like those, may still keep ordering those, and we'll still be able to produce them.
Yeah.
And our bartenders will have a really sound foundation of spirit knowledge and ability and technique to be able to make really anything.
Yeah.
Is the goal. That said, we won't have every single flavor of everything, you know.
Yeah.
We've already had a number of people come in for random things that we don't have. Some of the things I've recently purchased, we didn't have peach schnapps, so I went out and bought a thing of peach schnapps. But there's going to be, we're not carrying every flavor of vodka. We're not carrying every flavor of Crown Royal. We're not carrying, you know what I mean? There's a lot of things that we just don't have space for.
Yeah.
That people may have come to expect at different bars they go to. We definitely will have a nice selection, and we should always be able to produce something that is going to be delicious and reasonably close to what you're looking for. But yeah. But there's some surprises too. We do our own quinine syrup for the tonic, so we make our own house tonic water.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, but it's a little different than what you've come to expect.
A little different and delicious. Mm. It is very delicious.
And so there's a handful of little touches like that you know we're working on and we'll continue to work on over time. We're our good friends over at Caruso Produce, who are amazing people.
Yeah.
I hear they're just dropping off pallets constantly over at the Canby Center. Great addition to the Canby community. Yeah. Like amazing people. Yeah. Can't
those,
say that
love
enough.
Love those people. Yeah.
Love
Peru. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah. Jason and everyone else. But they we're working with them to at some point in the near future, they're gonna just deliver us whenever I ask for it, they're gonna deliver me a case of whatever is the best thing in season, in stock for fruit.
Yeah.
A case at a time, and then we'll go through and we'll build some sort of like a sweetened puree of that or whatever, and then we'll have like a kind of a fresh fruit drink of the moment of the day or whatever that we're gonna work with them, and then so like it'll just be something that just shows up on our doorstep. They're dealer's choice, and we'll figure out a drink to make with it, and right. It'll be, and so I like little things like that it's fun for us. It keeps us engaged. It keeps it fresh.
Yeah.
So it's not just fun for you guys to drink. We get to have fun making all this stuff.
Yeah. I'm just picturing like something like really random, like a big.
Yeah, I'm expecting that he's going to show up with some random stuff, but that's the fun of it. You know what I mean? Like pineapples or dragon, whatever, like dragon fruit. We'll. You know, some things will cook down and some things will, you know, just blend up. And so there's all manner of things you can do.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I do love, you know, just looking around here, like you've got the bowls of fruit and the, you know, just the ingredients.
Yeah. Fresh.
And like
all the juices here, with the exception of like the tomato juice is just good old.
You don't have Justin back there squishing up tomatoes.
Yeah. and you know, not only just like tomato, but like the
with your feet probably.
But like anything that we can get away with doing fresh, we're doing. So like your grapefruit, orange, lemon, lime is all fresh. So we've already had a couple people, you know, that have been like, what's different about this margarita? What's different about this drink? What's different about that? And it's
fresh juice.
It's fresh juice.
No,
we're not using any syrup.
Sour mix.
Yeah, it's not. Sweet and sour out of a jug, you know, or out of a powder mix that a lot of places do. It's fresh.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
That's great.
And that's different for people. Like, yeah. And for some people, they won't like it. And yeah. It's the same thing over at Wayward, where we're not going to be everyone's cup of tea because some people just like the usual stuff. And and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, for anybody who wants to try something that is like, you know, this is as the fruit you know is tastes.
So yeah.
this is what naturally comes from doing things you know what we think is the right way.
That's and some real little kid energy to me. That reminds me of my 5-year-old, because like he loves mac and cheese. One time I tried to make it for him like with like really good like rotisserie chicken, some barbecue sauce, like three different kinds of cheese. He hated it.
Yeah. No, I still like, fight I that want... with my daughter.
He's still... He's
I thought still, you were going to call still... me a child for
no,
a second there.
No, no, I mean...
I thought you were headed down the...
people that
and
like,
I was like, well, that's
the
fair.
People that
that's
like
fair,
it, the people that like it out of the box.
I
yeah,
am a child.
Even to this day, it's been like a year. He'll still... Anytime I go to make a mac and cheese, he's like, I just want it the normal way, Dad. Not
yeah, no, no. All the time. My
I cooked for my niece and nephew one time, and they were like, we don't eat this stuff. You don't know what we like to eat.
Oh,
and I was
man.
Like, okay.
Okay, fair enough. I'm only a professional
I was
chef.
Like, yeah, okay, yeah.
I don't know what people this is. Eat. Kids are the worst. I think we can all just agree on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So,
and they're our future.
You guys,
they are
our future. Timing right.
Teach them well.
Teach them well. And let them lead the
let
way.
Let them lead the way.
got the timing right with opening this. I'm so excited. Like, going into the winter, this
yeah.
is just like a place that you
yeah,
want to be.
Yeah, as
like
usual, we thought we'd be open at least a month or two before, but...
The hearty food, yeah.
You know, Clackamas didn't lose our...
No, Clackamas has been great.
Clackamas has been we great. Love Clackamas.
It's a supply chain foiled us this time.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Cool.
6 months to wait for a walk-in.
So anything else that you guys want to share with me?
No, we're open. We're open 7 days a week.
Uh-huh.
We're open till midnight, 7 days a week. We're going to try and see what the market will bear in that. We've had a lot of people express interest in being able to get a cocktail later, but they aren't comfortable maybe going to the choices that are here open late right now, which is, you know, I mean, whatever. I'm not saying anything negative about any of the other spots in town at all, but so this is maybe a different atmosphere if you are looking to have a late cocktail, and again, just offering choices.
So
we're open. We're gonna do lunch Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here. So we'll open at 11, 3 o'clock normally. We're gonna gear up our happy hour here in the next week or so and get that going. We've
for
got
drinks
a,
and food.
It'll be food,
yeah.
Probably. That'll be discounted.
Gotcha.
Then we have I have a lamb, a ground lamb kebab, going on the menu too.
Nice.
Soon.
Good.
Yeah. From,
yeah, and then.
Local lamb from Sudan Farms.
Got a woman who's going to come in, who's coming on board shortly, and we're going to have, she's going to be doing some sort of breads and things like that
precaution
for us.
Crackers are what's going to happen, and that's going to be amazing. I've been working with her to try to get it all set up for success.
Nice.
You know.
So a lot of things coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we'll probably figure out something for happy hour for some drinks too.
Yeah.
Honestly,
6 days.
I lived in Massachusetts for a long time. I'm from out here, but I lived there for a long time, and the rules for happy hour are very crazy and strict out there, and as opposed to here. And so
right.
I forget what I can and can't get away.
I think out there they call it angry hour.
Well, the problem was that it was a little too happy,
gotcha.
and they had a lot of issues with.
And it turned into.
And so, sometime in the late '80s, early in 90s, they switched it around. So they made it very strict. You weren't allowed to discount alcohol at all. You could only do food, and so then that sort
and
of.
As a former East Coast resident, that sounds very on brand for.
Yeah. Well. So. New York eventually got rid of
massholes.
Right.
Oh, there you
well,
go.
You guys, thanks so much for being on the show today. The place looks awesome. Congratulations to you both. Great job. And again, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Frankie.
Hey, Frankie, what are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out which TV option I want to use when DirectLink turns off their video services in January of next year. It's so confusing. Do you know there's about 48 million streaming services to choose from? Which devices do they work on? What channels do they offer?
No, I did not know that. But you do realize that you're probably better off than you think. If you have DirectLink's Easy Video TV now, you're already using a streaming service. But listen. You don't have to go this alone. DirectLink is actually helping their members transition to their next video provider. The company has an extensive informational website where you can compare popular services, and they host live tutorials on streaming TV options to help you decide.
Well, hold the phone. Are you saying that they're actively trying to help their members switch to a competing service? Who does that?
Well, DirectLink does. I mean, I guess it's one more chapter in their long history of wanting the best for our community. They've actually offered free classes for the past 12 years that teach our neighbors about the latest technology and internet security practices. And don't forget, they also orchestrated that popular bingo game last year that helped keep everyone entertained and connected during the lockdowns. They've also launched special programs to help keep our students connected at home during the pandemic and partnered with the city of Canby to give free Wi-Fi year-round at three local parks for locals and visitors alike.
Wait, DirectLink does all that?
They do indeed, and that's on top of providing the best and most reliable internet and voice services in town. So, to learn more about DirectLink services or how they can help you transition to the right video service for your home, visit directlink.coop today.
Hi, I'm Megan Waterman. I'm the owner and operator of the Book Nook in Canby, Oregon.
And I'm Tyler Clausen of Now Hear This Canby, the show you're listening to. Megan, the Book Nook is one of my favorite places in all of Canby. It's a one-stop shop for gifts, board games, new books, used books, and books from local authors. Why did you decide to open it?
Well, I love the power of a story. I love how reading about different people and places, times, stretches my mind. It makes me see the world differently, whether that's a fantasy story or a biography. It all changes the lens that I see and how I interact with people. The reason that we added games to our store is for that same reason. It's just a different way to experience story through gameplay.
And along with the new selection, you're at a new location, right?
We are. We just moved, technically just across the intersection to the old Parsons building. We've expanded our space and also our selection. So we've got more books, more gifts. We added a larger gaming section. And now with the world opening back up a little bit more, we're starting to relaunch some of our events. We have relaunched our general fiction and our fantasy book clubs, and those are going great. And we're about ready to kick off game nights, starting with our beginner Dungeons & Dragons camp, led by Canby's very own Tyler Clausen.
Hey, that's me! If you're interested in D&D, make sure you stop by the Book Nook and get more information about role-playing opportunities there.
Yeah, or stop by any time and chat with one of our booksellers about their current book recommendations and let us help you find your next favorite read. We're now open on Sundays as well, so we're there 7 days a week.
Nice. The Book Nook is in downtown Canby or online at booknookcanby.com. Okay,
what's going on?
So we have the O'Neills over here, and they are a family that has been coming to the music store for many years now, and they had mentioned to me about possibly doing an interview at some point in time, and so that time has come.
Awesome.
And so yeah, I started way back in the old store, where Brenda and Melissa would first come in after going to the fabric store next door and buying books. And then not long after that, Chris started taking lessons. And maybe he could pick up from that and kind of tell from his perspective about the lessons back at the old store and then moving over here. And then other members of the family started to take lessons.
Sure. Chris is over there. Okay.
Yep.
Real quick, Brian, so what's it like for you to, you know, have had this long relationship with this family and sort of see all different, see the growth over time and see different aspects of...
Well, I think it's really neat, too, because I learn things, too. I mean, we've played so many songs and I've been exposed to different kinds of artists and music that I may have never heard before.
Yeah.
And I've got great friends out of it, and it's just been a real blessing.
Awesome. So, Chris, yeah, tell me a little bit about your history and your family's history with the store here.
Well, you know what? It's kind of funny. When I first met Brian, yes, the fabric store is next door, and so we and my wife Brenda had to go in and do something with one of her instruments. It's been so long, I can't remember anymore. But you know what? I just haphazardly said, "Hey, can you teach me how to play guitar?" And Brian, without a pause, says, "Well, sure."
I didn't anybody to play guitar.
I did, and that's and there and that that's the interesting point, because I didn't think I could do it.
Yeah.
And Brian said, "Oh yeah, we can teach you." And I'm like, "Okay." So my first lesson with Brian, that he actually pointedly said, "Well, what do you want to get out of lessons?
Why did you want to learn to play guitar?"
And that's what I told him.
Yeah.
I said, "Well, I was always envious of those that could play the guitar mm-hmm. and sing.
Yeah.
I love to sing, but I never thought I could do it."
Yeah.
And so Brian says, "Oh, you can do it." And I'm like, and I did not think it was possible. Mm-hmm. So he started me on some chords. He's a very smart man. Mm-hmm. And within a month, he said, "Okay, let's play these chords and then we'll sing this song." And I almost started to cry because it was Country Roads. Mm-hmm. And when we started doing it, I was playing a song and I was singing at the same time, and I was almost in shock.
Yeah.
Well, I was in shock because he made good on his word.
Yeah.
And
wow.
It was the most amazing experience I've ever had, besides, you know, the birth of my kids and my grandkids.
Wow.
It was a dream come true.
Yeah.
So Brian, I've always said this to my friends, is Brian is a dream maker. Mm-hmm. He's made my, you know, dreams that I never thought I could accomplish, bucket list things, and I've done them. Wow. And Brian says, I'm going to go one step further, because Brian's just not a friend. Brian's our family. Mm. And he, you know, we just have a great allegiance to him and everybody here that works at his store. And we've made wonderful friends with his staff. His staff is incredible.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I entrust my family to Brian and his team. And you know what? What better homage to somebody than to say, A, you love them, and B, you know, thanks for teaching all of us.
Yeah.
So,
he,
you know, amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. What do you think of the new place?
Well, we can stretch out here a little bit.
Right? I'm not sure the whole family can fit in the old place.
No. The old store was cozy.
Uh-huh.
Very, 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 very cozy.
Yeah. There's no fabric store around here, though. That's a big problem.
You know, and that's a good thing, because we spend a lot of money on instruments here, and I don't think we could afford any fabric. So,
okay, fair enough.
But yeah, we love coming here and showing our appreciation for the community and mm-hmm. the community businesses, and we support them. We love this store, love it.
Yeah.
So I think we all agree that, you know, this is really no place that we'd ever want to go. We wouldn't even think about going somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because this is, you know, now this is our home here too.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have a great relationship and like Brian said, a great friendship. I mean, we love his family. We, you know, we've been over to his house and played music over there and every time we come here, I mean, a half hour lesson sometimes turns into a little bit more, because we just have fun and we tell stories and it's for me, people say, "Oh, I can hardly wait for the weekend. I can hardly wait for the weekend, because that's my favorite time off." And then what's yours? Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
It's the best night of the night.
Yeah.
And Brian, back last week, we were saying the same thing.
Yeah.
I looked at him and was like, "You know what? Wednesday night is my night." Mm. And, you know, Brian said the same thing. He's like, "Hey, we get to play music. We get to have fun. See, That's the neatest thing for me personally, is to be able to sing, to play music, mm-hmm. and to just let go and just have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And learn. Yeah. I mean, we, you know, it's always a chord here, a chord there.
Yeah.
And it's fellowship.
Yeah.
And that's the best thing. We had the best time.
Yeah. I assume you guys all play as a family now at holidays or things like that?
You know,
or
we were talking about it.
We sometimes
we get together and we'll play things. I mean, Kenzie's come over to the house and we played a little bit, you know, some music, because she's playing, not only the ukulele, but she's playing the guitar too, right? electric guitar.
Awesome.
So, you know, we'll come over.
Get on the road.
And the flute.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is quite, you know, it's neat to see this family coming together and playing music, and not just, you know, just that, but it's also being together as a family.
Yeah.
So Wednesday nights is a special night for us. You know, I tell my boss at work, is like, it doesn't matter what, if I leave work, I don't care.
Yeah.
Because this is my night. Yeah. And he's like, I'll take care of you. And he does every Wednesday.
Yeah.
And so, this is our night.
Yeah.
And it's a great thing. And I get to spend time, you know, my son plays in my lessons too. So I get to, it's very special because I get to have him here and we get to have, you know, time together.
Yeah.
So, you know what? It's just the best.
Yeah.
Brian's not just a great teacher, but a great friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he does a lot for us, and you know, it's very much appreciated. We tell him all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Who else? Who else wants to talk to me?
I'll point out, so we got you. So right now we have ukulele class.
We've got three generations here. Yeah.
Yes. So right now we got ukulele class, mm-hmm. and there's also other lesson times where there's guitar and saxophone and piano and flute, violin.
You all play a few different ones.
Drums.
Yeah.
And then at the grand finale, after it, then mm-hmm. we play guitars and sing. On Wednesday nights.
Cool.
Yeah, best night of the week.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
And it's also the ending of my, so I only teach up to Wednesday. I don't do Thursday or Friday or Saturday. Okay. And so this is the end of my teaching week. You know, I'm still working
at the store. Save the best obviously. For last.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep, that's true.
Awesome.
And we just have the best time.
Yeah.
Just the best. You know, we'll tell stories and just, you know, we'll laugh sometimes until we cry. And so that's, you know, it's just, you know, one of the most special experiences, you know, that I can think of. I mean, I just, you can ask anybody at my work, they'll tell you the same thing. It's like, I boast about this night because this is where I can recharge for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
And I can, you know, I can go home and play some more music. If there's something particular that I, you know, we play and I really like, I'll take out the guitar and
well, play also along. Enabled you to play music with your coworker.
Yes, that's actually a very interesting story. So, mm-hmm. do we have time to tell this?
He's not going to let me leave until I'm done.
So. Okay, well, you know, this is interesting. You can cut this and paste or whatever you want to do, but I have this coworker that I just love.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, he's an upright bass player. And so I kept pitting him against Brian. I would say something about, hey, Bernardo, Brian says this. And I insult him. And then I'd do the same thing to Brian. I'd come back, hey, Bernardo countered and said this to you. So for like a year, they were going back and forth and they didn't even know.
Never met.
They never met.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and so.
Evil mastermind.
Yeah, yeah.
So one fateful night, I decided.
Brian's just lying awake at night, like, Bernardo.
It's the truth. It's the truth. And they would always snipe at each other. And it was the funniest thing. I sat back. I got the ball rolling. I was just like, you know, Snidely Whiplash. Just,
yeah.
So finally, one day I decided, I'm gonna have these guys meet up finally.
Yeah, yeah.
So I came in, it was at the old store, and I came in and I said, Bernardo, follow me in, give me like a minute.
Yeah.
And so Brian comes in, my lesson about ready to start, Brian comes out, and then all of a sudden Bernardo comes walking in and thought he was a customer.
Yeah.
So he said, hey, I'm looking for Brian Earl Haynes, and he's like this, and he said, well, I'm Brian, and I said, then I introduced him, oh, this is Bernardo, and they're like, oh, God. And then ever since then, you know, he's come to my lessons and actually played with us. Mm. We actually went out and played, I don't know what you call it, at the...
An open mic.
Yeah. There was no, you know, we just basically played a set.
Yeah, there's nobody there, so we just put 45 minutes of us.
Nobody else wanted to get on the mic. Yeah, nobody else wanted to get on the mic. So we just played and just had the best time. And he's come a couple other times and actually has bought instruments from Brian.
Cool.
So now they're just, you know, now they're, it's sickening.
Yeah.
They're buddies now. It's just.
Yeah. So I gotta, Chris, if Brian's such a good teacher, why do you have to have the chords on your shirt to remind you? I mean.
Oh, well, you know what those chords are?
D-A-D.
Is it free falling?
No. Think about it. D
A. Oh, Dad. Yeah. Okay, got it. Okay, I thought it was a song reference.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. My daughter got that for me. Yeah. So
that is nice.
One of my favorite shirts. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Should we do another generation? Is there?
daughter? Well, Mackenzie's already
probably just like Matthew.
Yeah.
I think Matthew would. Matthew's.
he's hiding.
We're probably good.
Did you want to say a few words?
Look me in the eye when you say that.
I'm going to be recorded forever. It's going to be on his tombstone.
I enjoy the opportunities that coming to the store has afforded myself and my family.
Yeah.
I enjoy the early childhood opportunities that my children will have.
Yeah.
Their development at a young age through music, a way to express themselves in a various sort of mediums, and for them to branch out and challenge themselves, I think is not easily replaced.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I also enjoy the music. My leisure time at home, I struggle to have any passive downtime.
Yeah.
And so learning music allows me to be engaged and I can be productive in that time and work towards a goal. Mm-hmm. And so for that, I'm grateful for the store. I'm also grateful for the small town feeling that the store has and having staff that are interested in my progress and also in the maintenance and upkeep of my instruments, where I have utilized the store services many times and the techs here are intimate with my instruments and my particular needs.
Yeah, thanks.
So, and you, anybody that's listening to this should go on the Facebook and read Matthew's weekly blogs or reviews or whatever you would call them.
Yeah, where can they find that?
They're very creative.
Yeah.
And I enjoy them.
Truthful.
And truthful. yes, I'll just leave it at that. Go ahead and read them.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So can we get names and spellings for everybody to make sure I get that right? O'Neill is
O,
what?
Apostrophe capital N E I L.
Okay. Easy enough.
And
Chris
C H R A S.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew M A T T H E W.
Okay.
There's Melissa M E L I S S A.
Okay. O'Neill as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think we're all O'Neills.
Yeah.
Perfect.
My wife Brenda. That's pretty easy.
Okay.
Mackenzie.
How do we do that one?
M-A-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E.
Okay, and just the N is capitalized?
That's amazing, actually.
S-H-E-A.
Che, right, yeah.
Kian, C-Y-A-N.
Okay.
I thought it was
Kyan,
it's not Brian.
After a couple
weeks,
I got
it.
And
who are you? We're good?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
Now Hear This, Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.
And now, a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end of season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. So it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing, and I've heard it's amazing, and I think there's quite a following. Also, they'll have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or no. That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't, like, animal-related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest-running, locally-owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately caught off. That's cool.
Yeah, they also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.